Good morning. I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord dropped a thought in yesterday, or this week some anyway. I'd like to think about the thought that you can make a difference. Don't underestimate what the Lord can do with you. It was mentioned, I think some in Sunday school, a little bit of it come out, that the idea of what the value of just getting one soul, what value that would be for eternity. If we could help one soul, if what we do could help one soul in the end, or be a part of helping one soul. I think sometimes we look at life through the lens of success, of being Elon Musk or someone that's attained, Bill Gates, or someone that's obtained a lot of things, or even spiritually, I think we, looking at it, we would look at the things like Moody or Wesley, or someone that maybe had a great ministry that the world known. But you know, that's not the way it is. Most people that are faithful, just faithful, don't come to that kind of acknowledgement or fame in this world. So I like to think about what that you can make a difference. Would like to start with scripture in Mark, the 12th chapter. Mark 12:41 says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which making a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in out of the abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living." You reckon this, the way this is written, that you suppose that this woman even knew that? I mean, do you suppose that she went there this day to be to have fame through centuries? We don't have her name, but this widow woman made such an impression. She did so much by her little bit that her actions has been the, what would you say? This is the representation of givers. This is what God has used throughout the centuries to say to people of what's value in giving. One woman, probably without any mind of being recognized ever of anything, I look at her as maybe a little stooped over. You'll have to give me liberty, of course, for that. May not have been that at all. But she seemed to be this little old woman with I don't think she made much noise. Maybe she was a talker. I don't have any idea. But in my mind, there's this little widow woman that came and gave of her, out of her, the very lack of her life, she gave, and Jesus, recognizing what she had done, set her for all time, of all people, to be the high watermark for the way we ought to do something. She made a difference. She made a profound difference that she's recorded in the scriptures. Thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people have read this and be encouraged that you can make a difference. You know, it doesn't take a lot in the Lord to make a difference. God isn't calling for some great thing from us. You can make a difference in the place that you're in. I hope this is an encouragement to you, because the Lord would have made you the way He wanted you to be. He can make you any way that He wants to be. He made you the way that you are. You're in the position that you're into. He's not calling for you a great change that you go out and be something or do something. He calls people to things, but you know you can make a difference right where you're at. You can make a difference in other people's lives. I want to encourage us to look to make a difference in people's lives. Do you know a kind word can be so important to someone? There's people that need financial help. And there's people that's got plenty that need something else. There's people that needs a hand on their shoulder. There's people that needs to just know that God can make a difference in their life. There's people that needs to know that somebody cares for them. There is a lot of hurt and damage, people, and not looking, I can't throw in what Elon Musk could throw into. But I can throw in what I've got to throw into. Another scripture I want to look at is in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Oh, let's see, 13th verse maybe. I'll start with that. Says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed hence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past, send the multitude away, that they may go unto the village and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes of a great multitude. Well, what can you do with such a small thing? There's another passage of scripture, I believe, that involved a little boy. Maybe this was the different account. There was 2 different accounts in the scriptures where Jesus fed the multitudes, and there was another one where they said, "What do you have?" Well, this young guy. He's got a little bit of food. It's his lunch. He's got some lunch. That's all that he has. He doesn't have a lot. You can't look and say, "I can do great things with it." But God's able to do great things, and this should be an encouragement to all of us that we can do something. We all have something. God gave us all something to do something with, and it can be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied by the Lord. So He says, bring it to me. And I think the secret to the lesson is that He says, bring it to me. I don't know how to multiply anything. I don't know how to do what I need to do. But the Lord knows how to take that and do it if we give it to the Lord, and if we have a heart to give it to the Lord, and if we do the things and remember that I can make a difference. I can make a difference in this thing. No matter what position or place that I'm in, I can make a difference in this. Do you believe that God hears prayer? Everybody here most definitely would say, yes, I believe God answers prayer. Then it means something. I can make a difference. I can make a difference with my prayers. God hears and answers prayers means that I'm in this thing too. There's a story in the scripture where it says of a man that it had not rained for 3.5 years. This lesson is to teach us about prayer. That there was one that said he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it rained not. At his prayer, he wasn't a great man. He had no special features. He was only a man. It pointed out to say, like passion, he was not a man of great estate. He had nothing special that you don't have, is the point of the whole lesson. There's nothing he had that you don't have. And he prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Think of that. The power of being able to change and alter and make things different. You can make things different by your prayers. When you diligently, earnestly pray to the Lord, it can make a great difference. Now, we have an election coming up. I don't know what the Lord wants. I'll be honest with you. I don't go around assuming that I know everything God wants in His world or how He wants to perform His righteous work. But I do know that God does want to work a righteous work in the hearts and lives of men. And I don't know what people He wants to put on to perform this, because God is a God of infinite wisdom and ideas. And He can, where I say you ought to be, get this guy in because he's better, God does something totally different. It isn't my place to say what God's going to do. It's my place to pray that God's will be done. God, have your way in our nation. When I'm praying beyond, if I start praying, and we have a right to pray for our economic situations, for sure. We have a right to do it. But I want to tell you, we ought to go over that idea of how well we get along in this world and pray for the souls of men. You'd be a lot more aligned with what God's trying to do. And take the notion that God's going to feed the sparrows. God's going to take care of His people. Lord, work righteousness in this life. You know you can make a difference? God has called it that way. If one man could pray and it not rain. And it says, and that he also prayed that it rain. And it did. And that's a lesson to us about the power of prayer and being in God's will. And I have no reason. There's reasons, times that we pray for farmers and we pray for crops and God answers prayer, and we know that's true. I have no reason to play around acting like or being something special that I can say it rain and not rain and do that. That's all fleshly, carnal ideas and thinking. But when we start thinking about the will of God and the work of to glorify God and to show the glory of God, we all have a part and a place to play in that. Lord, help us to know that we can make a difference. People can be saved because of us. We can be an encouragement. We can be a help. We can be encouragement to those around. This scripture here was a place to where they were hungry. The will of Jesus' will was to feed them. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't have much, the little boy may say. I have my lunch. I don't have enough to feed 5,000, but I got my lunch. Lord, you can magnify my lunch. You can magnify our words. You can magnify our prayers. You can make this last. You can make it a change. Do you know a few words in the inspiration of God can be powerful? It don't have to be great poetry. It don't have to be, I'm going to tell you, somebody that's down and out, when the Lord inspires the words, brother, I love you and I'm praying for you. When that comes from the inspiration of the Lord, and when they open that up and the inspiration of His Spirit comes through that to them, it's better than poetry. God does something with what you wrote. God done something with what heart we have, what we want to touch. God does something with that. I heard a story. I've been listening to a few. Some of you here old enough knows. Probably the young ones don't know what I'm talking about, but some of the old ones know who Paul Harvey was. Paul Harvey was a radio personality. I don't know when he died. Many years, probably a couple decades ago. I don't know. But he was, his voice was very familiar to my generation. If you heard that voice, you knew that was Paul Harvey. He had a very distinct, solid voice, you may say. Well, anyway, he done different news things, but one of the things that he was probably famous for was the rest of the story. He had done many of these, and I listened to a few of them. And he said one the other day, I'd like to repeat it to you, of a story that he told. He told the story of this man there was a boy that lived in Tennessee. And he had an uncle who was a famous of the day, a famous country music guy. He had made it big. And the country music star lived in Arkansas. And he was coming to Tennessee to visit the family. So this young boy's famous uncle was coming to visit him. And he had this friend. And so when the uncle got there, the boy asked him, asked the uncle if he would mind tuning his friend's guitar. He didn't know how to tune his guitar, and he was wondering. He asked the uncle, and he said, "Sure, bring him over, and I'll do it." And the young man said, I can't bring him over because my mom and dad told me to never invite him to our place or have him in because he's kind of poor and on the other side of the tracks. He's, you know, kind of a different, you know." And he said, "So they told me never, ever bring him to the house or invite him in." And so the uncle said, well, I can meet him. And so he met this young boy at a place, and he remembered, this country music star remembered that he one time was very poor and on the other side of the track. And so he felt for this very poor, dark-headed young boy. And so he got with him and he tuned his guitar and he taught him how to tune his guitar. And he spent the whole afternoon, all the rest of the day, he spent with this young, very young boy teaching him chords on his guitar and taking time with him. And he never saw the young boy again. And the young boy never saw him ever again. They had a moment. They had a certain space of time that they was together, and that was all that they ever was together, was just that small time. And of course, Paul Harvey had a way of dramatizing this, but then the young, dark-haired boy, poor boy's name was Elvis Presley. And now you know the rest of the story. And that's the way he did the story. But the idea of this was that Elvis Presley may have never been the Elvis Presley that the world knew. But somebody took time. Somebody made a difference. He made a difference. He could have been discouraged from that, but he wasn't discouraged. I'm not promoting Elvis Presley at all. You know that. But I'm promoting the idea that a man made a difference to another man's life. He did something and encouraged. He didn't say, "No, you can't," or "No, you know, you're not talented," or none of that. And maybe he did think that he didn't have the talent to do it. He probably for sure never knew that I'm going to go down the history as being the one that helped Elvis Presley. He didn't do it to Elvis Presley, the guy that was the superstar. He done it to a poor boy that had nothing to offer or nothing to give. But yet his heart, his willingness to take what's the most valuable thing is not money. The most valuable thing we have is not money, it's not property, it's not the things that we possess, it's the time that God gave us. And he gave it of his time, he took his time and he gave it to a little boy, a poor little boy that didn't matter. It did not matter what he was ever going to do. He took it and done it, and because he did, he made a great difference. And I want to say this, and again, it's only an analogy. I'm not promoting the musical world or the entertainment world. You know that. But did Elvis Presley ever touch anybody? Was anybody ever moved by his music? Did he have an effect on the world? Of course he did. He had a great effect on the world. You can hardly still. He died, what, in the 70s? back in the 70s, he died. You can hardly still mention his name, but people don't know who Elvis Presley is and where he come from and that he was a star and that all of these things, known for all of these things. My thought is that a man did just a kind deed. All he did was took time for a little boy and the actions that he had of teaching him to tune his guitar, the chords that's put him on. All that he done there at that time was spread out like feeding the 5,000. It went out until everybody was touched. People all over the place was touched, was affected. Listen to it. Took time. It made a wave, a ripple in the pond that went on and on and on and still goes on today. Do you know that what he done is still producing? I heard not long ago that what Elvis Presley done is still producing income for the owners of Elvis Presley's estate. That they're still selling music. They're selling the things that he did is still a money making adventure all these years later, because a man stopped to show him how to tune his guitar, to do something. Well, again, that's all worldly, and it's not going to maybe make much difference for eternity. But you know, there's been people that has stopped and took their time to bend down to help somebody, that the eternal effects of that have went through the ages. All by a small thing. A woman throws a farthing, two mites, into the thing, and it went throughout the generations as the way to give. A little boy is willing to give his lunch to the cause, and it's fed 5,000, and it's been recorded in the book. It makes a difference to people's lives, and we can look at it and say, it's vague in my mind, but Brother Mansell may remember who did it. But there was a sister among us, and she passed away some years ago, and she was I knew her as Sister Belinda. Now, Brother Clifford probably knows this whole story better than I do. But as far as I remember, she was just a street woman. She was a woman out. I want to say, first of all, about what I knew of Sister Belinda. I didn't know her as a defiled person and couldn't imagine her one. I knew Sister Belinda as one of the most inspiring. She loved the Lord with all her heart, and you knew it, right? And best I remember, somebody just handed her a track. You might think it's not worth anything, and it's a very small thing to do, but somebody took the time and had the heart to have a track with them and handed her a track. And I don't even remember what the track was now, but handed her a track about salvation that altered the woman's life. And through Sister Belinda didn't go to foreign lands. I don't know that she ever took the pulpit. I don't know much about her. But the witness of what God had done for her life inspired people everywhere she went and told the story. She was an inspiration, and it was because somebody pulled a track out and gave her a track. You remember who gave her the track? Sister Jordan. Lizzie? Sister Jordan. And she was a faithful person, and she ran. But one act of kindness and of love and to care, that I care for you, done something. And you know, those things can be something that affects people for generations. I mean, here I am and just met the woman, was impressed by her. And so all these years later, because Sister Jordan poured that out, here we go again. It's dynamic. It is to be dynamic. And I want to encourage us that you may be here thinking that you don't make a difference, but you do make a difference. God can use what you do. How many things will only be known in eternity? How many times did somebody with all their heart get down before the Lord and pray, Lord, have mercy on our nation. Lord, have mercy on our our community. How many times did that register in the throne and it changed the events of the world around, and it was never wrote in the paper? It was never broadcast in a tract. It was never told anything because there was nothing inspired to tell it like this, and it went on and it made a big difference. How many endless stories are we going to hear when we get there to the glory of God that somebody was that pray? If Elijah could pray a prayer that it not rain, how many prayers is not recorded that absolutely changed the dynamics of the world? Do you think if it's possible that somebody pray that it not rain and it not, and then it rained and it do? Do you think it's possible that someone could pray, Lord, don't allow this tornado to destroy my town, and it lift up? Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible for someone to fall on their knees and say, the devil is making, Lord, the devil is just destroying my family. Have mercy on us. You think that God can't change that too and do that? I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, when we get serious before the Lord, it matters. And it changes things. And don't think that your prayers are any different when you're as serious. Don't think that it can't make a difference when you say, Lord, have mercy on us. Look down on us and change these circumstances, because God is here. God don't need it. I think there is power in collective prayer. I think the Lord has taught us to unite ourselves together for the power of the prayer, but He didn't give us that in that example. He just said one man. One man can make a difference. And if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, and can we change a national election? I know you're going to say, Brother Marty, now come on. I'm saying, can you? Okay, now this is faith. But can righteous people change a national election? Can it change the course of what's going on in the communities around us? Can one small action, one small care to an individual, can it change the nation? I don't know what ended up. The Bible didn't say it wasn't there. But there was an account of a man. Jesus told this story when they asked him, who is thy neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Jesus told a story about who the neighbor is. He said there was a man, I think he went from Jericho. Runs onto a man down there he's on the way from Jericho, and he falls subject to thieves. He's beaten, bruised, left for dead, robbed, stripped. There was people that went by that didn't make much difference. But there was one that come by that you wouldn't have thought would have made a difference, that made a difference. It was almost a proclaimed enemy that come by, at least nationally, if you want to say it that, or by cliques and clans. And he stopped and helped. You think it made a difference? You think that there could have been a difference that was made? The Bible doesn't go and tell you, but I'm going to tell you my experience in life, how things work. I think it would have been real hard for that man that fell among thieves to have bad thoughts towards that Samaritans or any Samaritans after that. You could say whatever you want to about the Samaritans, but this makes a difference to me. One came by and done something that made a difference. He made a difference to the ones that was around him. You think that, I suppose that all people, or most all people, have this in their lives. That man that was among thieves may have had a mother. Alive, he may have had a father alive, may have had sisters, may have had a wife, he may have had children. You don't think it mattered? It could have mattered greatly what the man did. You can make a difference. Linda and I, one time we was in Guthrie, and we was asked to share our testimonies, I think with the young people. And there was a number of us. Brother Bob Wilson was one, and Brother Randy and Sister Tammy Sorrell was some other ones. And they asked some of us that had been, the Lord had got out of the world, to come and give the testimony of God's grace to the young people. We didn't know it, how it was all going to come, how it was all going to be, but my wife's testimony is that her grandmother took her to service when she was little. Well, grandmothers are kind of puny. Mine was a little spindly little woman, old woman. So was Linda's. Actually, they're about the same size and height. They wouldn't amount to a whole lot. I don't imagine anyone would want to put them on a poster as a hero. But I always said if I had to have a hero other than Jesus, it'd be my grandmother. And it wasn't because that she could fly. It was because she was faithful in the times of adversity. She testified of her grandmother, and when it come my turn, I had to testify how I come to the Lord and come to the truth. It was my grandmother that was faithful. Sister Tammy is telling the story. It's about a grandmother. I think it was Randy's grandmother, wasn't it? Had been faithful and brought her to the Lord. Then Brother Bob Wilson tells his testimony. You know what it is? Grandmother. Grandmothers was what we would consider the weakest family member. All of our testimonies was that they made a difference. I don't know. I've preached all over the country. I'm not saying I've ever accomplished anything. I'm just saying if I do, it was because my grandmother was faithful. That's the way that we can do something, because it was faithful. And God had chosen. So Linda always has this testimony. She got to tell Sister Clay. She wanted to tell Sister Clay down in Dallas, because Sister Clay is an elderly woman. She's up in years. She's a very faithful. She's a dear woman. You all know her. She's been here. But she is a precious saint. And she spends a lot of her time taking her grandchildren around. And she brings them service and stuff. So Linda wanted to tell her this last time at Dallas. She told her a testimony about how her grandmother, Sister Clay's making a difference. It may go through the time, but she's making a difference. You can make a difference too. Everybody can make a difference. When it comes to serving the Lord, it doesn't take great things. It doesn't take great strengths. It doesn't take any of those kind of things. God can add to those things. God can add to whatever we give and give it to others. And I just want to encourage us today to be very faithful. God is wanting us to be faithful. There's a scripture in Zechariah 4:10. The first part of the verse says about who is to despise the day of little things. We look at the great things, but who to despise? Don't despise the day of little things. That doesn't seem like it makes much difference, because it always starts out with little things. There's a place out, I don't know, I think I'll pass it on my way to Guthrie, so it's in Oklahoma somewhere, along the lines that I noticed that they have this great big pecan orchard. You all probably have seen it. It's over to the right down there. It's a big pecan orchard. And the one thing I noticed is that there's old trees. And in the last decade or so, 10 years or so, they've refurbished the whole area. You could see they did a lot to it. And there's these giant pecan trees. And then there's these rows of trees. I remember when they planted them, but they're getting pretty big now. But then over and over and over, then there's these ones that's just planted. They start out with small things. The tree starts out with just the seed. It just starts out with the beginnings part of it. You can make a difference. Plant a tree. No, you're not planting a great big one. Sow a seed. Sow a seed. Start out with something. And in today's situation now, I'm not going to mention it particularly, but I just want you to pray about it, that there's someone that was wanting to come to the service, and I've been just being friends and being working with, and I'm seeing it happening, and it makes me to know you can make a difference. You can make a difference, and don't look and just say, I got to have the whole thing. It was one. No, you can just make a difference. Sometimes people just need to know somebody that cares. And the scripture says that about our conversation, that our good conversation, that it might testify, that I don't know exactly how to quote it, but in the day of their visitation, when the Lord comes and visits with them, that our good conversation would be the means that the Lord would be able to speak to them about their own soul's need and what they need to get it right. There is so many needs in our world today and so many places in that. And you look at it, and sometimes you can look at the situations of people and you can be turned off by it and all those kind of things. I'm going to say that God has put a value and worth on every human soul. Everybody has a worth and a value. And this is the man that tried to fraud me, and he took my Uncle Elmer's Facebook page, and some of you heard me tell about it, but there was a soul back there, and I know there's a soul back there. And this guy actually was trying to fraud me. That's why he got it. And in the conversation, I asked this man, why are you doing this? And is this all your life will mean? Is this all your life will mean? And are you proud of this? And this is one of the first ones that have come back and said anything. But he comes back to me on Messenger and says, usually they're gone when they know that they can't get anything. And this man comes back and says, no. And if there was work here, I wouldn't be doing this. And no, I am not proud of this at all. And so I said, well, where are you at? And he's a guy from Nigeria, and this is what he's doing. He doesn't have work. And I said, yeah, I know that it's bad over there. And he said, yeah, it's bad. I went to college for an accounting, and I finished with a 4.13 grade point average, and all this, and this is what I'm doing. And I mentioned to him, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. God's got better. You don't have to do that. You know, this guy ends up saying, I tried to make a friend of him. I said, I want to be friends with you. And if you ever need any guidance or any help, it's what I do. Message me. You know who I am. I can't get to you. But he did tell me his name was Gilbert, and that he was from Nigeria, and that his life was in a certain place. And he told me, he said, I want to be better by God's grace. Well, he didn't go on with much more conversation over that. But I want to tell you, I'm not responsible, but I did plant seeds. And maybe, possibly somewhere down the line, this guy, it'll make a difference to him. And I told him at the end of it, I called him, okay, he's a fraud. He's a fraud and he's trying to steal off of people. But I called him my friend. I said, friend, I want to help you if I can. And I sincerely mean that. And why wouldn't I? We've all been rotten. And God wants to help. And you know, I believe that everybody can make a difference in other people's lives. And if it's nothing more, I do believe that God gives gifts. But there's a gift of praying too. But praying is a universal thing. Everybody can do it. And there isn't some thing that you have to be able to use your mind to get words in a certain order or do anything like that for a prayer to work. All you got to do is be sincere in your heart about it and go to the Lord with a sincerity, and I am sure that you can make a difference in whatever it is that a difference needs to be made in. But God wants us all to be in this. This is not a spectator. This isn't a sitting from the bleachers watching the game go on. This is a participant. This is to be participated in. You pray for me. I want to make a difference.